Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues. In lieu of our normal program, Let's Face the Issues presents this informative message with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood about today's election.
I invite us to open our Bibles to Proverbs, the 29th chapter. Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to look at one very simple, poignant, pointed, powerful verse that I believe sets the stage for what we shall see today. We're in a society that's totally different from just a few years back. We're in a society today where it seems that we have two Americas, a divided nation, almost equally divided, by the way, when you look at the statistical data in relationship to those that hold to a biblical worldview and those that hold to a secularistic Marxism viewpoint and what all that entails. It is a time that I believe as Christians, we need to speak up, stand up, be visible, victorious, and be heard. Stand, if you will, please, out of honor and recognition of the reading of the Word. One very simple verse I'll read audibly. Follow with me silently in your scripture. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Thank you, and we may be seated. I believe that gives a very clear picture of where we are in our nation today. Two days from now, the nation will make a decision. The voters will make a decision as to what kind of America we want. 2 days from now, the nation will determine whether or not we want a socialist, communist, Marxist, BLM, democratic society, or whether or not we want a constitutional republic with a representative form of government that we've enjoyed for about 244 years. That's the choice, that's the decision that is before us. The post-election America will either be that socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, democratic America, or will continue to be that constitutional republic that we have enjoyed for all of these years. This election, and the outcome, I believe, is perhaps the most important election in the history of the United States of America. The Democratic Party leaders have declared that this election is a revolution. And may I say to us, it is. In my book that was published in 2012, Is It Time for Revolution? Subtitled, Will It Be the Ballot Box or the Battlefield? And it was based on a biblical text that I believe is relevant today. And so the question is, are we in a revolution? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. It is a battle for the soul of our nation. It's a battle for the direction that our nation shall take and that we shall leave as a legacy to future generations. Some are concerned that they are preparing for a civil war. In fact, it is amazing to me that a number of people have said that that's exactly where we're headed in America today, is for a civil war. In fact, here's the article that says, half of America is preparing for civil war. As a result of that, by the way, the sale of weapons have gone up 141% just in the past 90 days. We are looking at a future that I cannot think of as being America as we have known it for all of these years. But may I remind us, we're fully aware that the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democrats, and if anybody has a problem with that, tell God, don't tell me. Because that's exactly what we see in that leadership role. In fact, in that realm, they have said that they will lie, cheat, and steal, and do anything necessary to win this election. We're already seeing across America where the governors have instituted new legislation, and it's been passed, and some of the courts have refined and accepted that. that ballots can be counted up to 8, 9, 10, 11 days after the election on November the 3rd, if it is postmarked by November the 3rd. Well, what's wrong with taking a postage meter today and posting it all on this date and having thousands upon thousands of ballots wait until after November the 3rd to determine how many needs to be turned in to skew the election as to the bent and the direction and the Marxist Democratic Party and what they're wanting to be the outcome? In fact, ballot harvesting, ballot buying, the votes that have been already lost in the mail as a result of early mailing in of ballots. On one occasion, individuals found setting fire to a drop-in ballot box. Of course, they say that there were just a few dozen that were soiled and that were partially burned but can be restored. One state's already sent out a little over 2 million ballots that were sending duplicates to that 1 million that were being sent. And some of them, when it was traced down, found that the ones that were supposed to receive those ballots had been dead for as much as 11 years. On two occasions, it was discovered that a cat and dog in a family that had a name, they received ballots by that cat and dog's name to be cast as ballots in the election process. May I remind us, we're noticing what is taking place today, where multitudes are already trying to skew the election process. May I remind us, Samuel Adams said, and may I quote, "Let each citizen remember he is offering his vote, that he is not making a present or a compliment to please an individual, or at least that he ought not to do so, but that he is executing the most solemn trust in all of human society for which he is accountable to God and to his country," end quote. I don't think it could have been stated any more wisely than that was stated by Samuel Adams. It was in May, on May 12th, 1803, Pastor Mathis Bennett, a First Baptist Church in Norwich, preached what was called then an election sermon. By the way, that was normal in that era, to preach an election sermon, and was focused on the election process and the election parties and what they ought to do in pleasing God and how citizens ought to vote. He said in that sermon, listen carefully, "Look well to the characters and qualifications of those who you elect and raise to office and place them in trust," end quote. J. Adams, the first Supreme Court Chief Justice, said, "The Americans are the first people whom heaven has favored with an opportunity of deliberation upon and choosing the forms of government under which you may live in the future." We need to understand that's what we're faced with today. Ladies and gentlemen, we must vote. God and country requires it. There are a lot of preachers that stand in the pulpit and say politics is evil, politics is bad, those involved in it are bad people, and we ought not to get involved. That's been taking place for about 60 years. We're reaping the result of that today. As a result of that, we find, here's an article that says, Biblical worldview giving way to socialism among youth evangelicals. The head of the ministry that helps Christian young people strengthen their biblical worldviews looking past the 2020 election into the future, and says it is pretty bleak when you look at it. Evangelicals are so focused on winning this election, they don't realize that the data shows that they have already lost all elections beyond this one. That's the warning issued by Jeff Myers, president of the Summit Ministries, in a Washington Times commentary last week. Quote, "Polls show that a permanent anti-religious society majority through the vehicle of the Democratic Party is emerging in the United States, a majority that will dominate by 2024 and locked in place forever from 2030 and following. Young churchgoers, Christians, are fighting this leftward current. They're swimming, not fighting against it, but swimming with it," this writer says. Myers tells one news source that evangelical youth are buying into the socialism and Marxism without realizing what it is doing to their faith and the future of America. "They're a generation that is fairly low in their risk-taking ability," he explains. "And when someone says the government will take care of you, just like mom and dad took care of you, that's pretty compelling message for the youth today," end quote. The ministry leaders say that his research finds 69% of evangelical youths who attend church don't believe in absolute truth and think that if your beliefs offend someone, you're the one who is wrong and must change, end quote. Even though they say that they believe in God, the worldview that they embrace is materialism only. Only the material world exists. There's no God. There's no Jesus. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no heaven. There's no hell. That's the worldview that Karl Marx embraced in the history past. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see that's absolutely permeating society today. This is the reason we ought to look at and recognize and realize the solemnity and the seriousness and the importance of casting our ballot in this election to make sure that God continues to sustain us in the future. We find that in our nation today that the church is not considered essential. The church is being demeaned, and pastors and Christians are being prosecuted and persecuted as a result of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Governor Gavin Newsom, Matt Staver says, has imposed the worst church restrictions in the country. Right now in California, worship is completely banned in much of the state. In-home Bible studies and worship with anyone who does not live in the home with you are all banned from worshiping. In fact, such activity is considered criminal in the state of California, punishable up to 1 year in prison and fines of $1,000 per day if you offend the government in the state of California by way of worshiping. We need to recognize today that America is about equally divided, as I said earlier. We have half the society that could call Christians and conservatives and ethical and moral people, about half or less, if you look at it carefully. But the other half, we must admit, is at best a secularistic society with their liberal leaning, Marxist, socialist, communist agenda that do not understand how this has come about. You ask the question, how has this taken place? How have we devolved to the position in America today that we embrace Marxism, Maoism, and communism that is called socialism? It's socialism, by the way. It's simply communism-like. How do we embrace that? How have we come to this position? Because for the past 50 to 60 years, we've allowed the Marxist, Socialist, Communist professors to teach in our colleges and our universities, and youngsters come out with a four-year degree, or a graduate degree, or a postgraduate degree in their pocket, but they believe that America is evil, America is wrong, America is wicked, and the Socialist, Marxist, Communist agenda is good, and it's embraced by our citizens today, and therefore that's the way many votes will be cast on November the 3rd. The battle is a satanic, demonic battle. We must understand that it is a satanic, demonic battle. We must realize today that it's against the biblical worldview. Our foundation is built on the Word of God, handed down to us by men that stood on godly principles and godly philosophies and godly ideological bents based on the Word of God. A biblical worldview is one that is based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. A number of years ago, I had an individual say, are you a Calvinist or an Arminianist? I said, neither. He said, well, what are you? I said, I'm a central biblicist. He said, what is that? A lot of folks that don't understand that if you stand on nothing more, nothing less than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, there's a wonder of what you are and where you stand and what you ought to do. May I remind us, having a moral, ethical foundation, we as a constitutional republic with a representative form of government is what we ought to recognize, that it's built on the foundation of the Word of God by our founding fathers that love God. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you've been taught. I believe that our founding fathers were at least God-fearers, and for the most part, Christians, having faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There's a whole group of teaching, a whole lot of teaching out there today that says, oh, our founding fathers were simply secularists that simply were appeasing the people by talking about God or reading the Bible. The Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party have abandoned God. They left God out of the platform. They have booed God on every hand. And yet, somehow, some way, we're made to believe, or some are trying to cause us to believe, that that is the way we ought to vote today. They have dethroned God in words, in works, and in their platform. So may I ask the question, where are we now? I want us to notice, number one, all of that, by the way, no cost, it's simply introduction. May I remind us as we look at point number one, the present condition reviewed. The present condition reviewed. In fact, in Proverbs 14:34, the Bible says this, righteousness exalteth a nation. That means to lift up, to honor, to glorify a nation. But, that's a contrast, but sin is a reproach. It's a dishonor. It's a shame. It's an insult to any people. And that's where we are today. The nation that we're in today and what we're watching take place in the devolution of the United States of America and the Constitutional Republic for which we have been built upon for all of these years, we are now devolving into the abyss where anything goes, where the mindset is that prayer is banned, the Bible is banned, that you cannot pray, that Christians are not essential, that the church is not essential, and that somehow, some way, we can simply disobey God and disavow God. And when major calamity comes, the question is generally, where was God when all of of this took place? Because he's been banned. He's been put out of society. The Bible is very, very clear. Righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Ladies and gentlemen, as a nation, we are witnessing the greatest evil, the greatest wicked attack on our president, Donald J. Trump, more than in all of American history. The socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democrats have simply tried to destroy our president in the 4 years that he's been in office. Now listen very carefully. Don't you dare leave here today telling someone that pastor said that our president is perfect. No, he's not. He is a sin-flawed human being, just as everyone under the sound of my voice. If you believe that somehow, some way, because of his background and because of the sin that was in his life, if you have some belief that somehow that he's disqualified to serve as president, you need to go back and check up and ask God, what can you do to serve him? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't want to diminish that at all. I want us to understand that he is not a perfect man, but he is the man that I believe God divinely intervened in 2016 and placed in the office of leadership over the United States of America. And I believe that had that not taken place then, we'd be in far worse condition today than we're in. But I want us to understand what they have done. The whole Russian hoax, with some $48 million being spent, with the CIA and the FBI and all of the intelligence apparatuses, with the Mueller report, and it all failed. We're talking about the present condition. They tried impeachment over a legal phone call that was made to Ukrainian leadership. It also failed. The left now blames President Trump for 225 deaths as a result of COVID-19, claiming that he did not do enough to stop it when the Wuhan China virus was unleashed on the United States of America. Even now, President Trump campaigning for re-election is a battle. He's not just fighting with sleepy Joe Biden in this battle for the office of president. That's not it at all. I wish to God that that's all that he faced as an enemy. But keep in mind, he's facing fighting against the FBI, the CIA, the socialist fake media, the Russian government, the Chinese government, George Soros, Mike Bloomberg, BLM, Antifa, Big Tech, the Council on Foreign Affairs, the Never Trumpers, the Rhino Republicans, Nancy Pelosi, the AOC, Chuck Schumer, Ilhan Omar, and the so-called Christians that say that we can't vote for President Trump. How would you like to fight that kind of battle? How would you like to recognize that that's the enemy that you're fighting with for the election or the re-election of office of the United States President of America? We can't vote for Trump because he's a sinner, Dr. John Piper said. In fact, John Piper said that he's an adulterer. He is one that's lied. He's the one, and he goes through the whole litany of what supposedly Donald Trump. I'd love to have a debate and a conversation on a one-on-one with Dr. John Piper and ask him to search the scripture and find out, when did God set you up as the final authority on who's a sinner and who's not? When did God set you up in a position that you can make a fiat decision that a person is disqualified to serve God because God has found in you some kind of sin? I want to know who is here today without sin. Who's here today that can say, I've never sinned. I've never done it. I've never lied. I've never cheated. I've never stolen. That very one is a liar, according to my Bible. And we need to preach and teach about lying and the danger of lying. Ladies and gentlemen, we need God's divine intervention. When you look at what Dr. John Piper said, and I probably got 18 or 20 different articles where the man opened his mouth and his brains poured out when he started talking in relationship to that question. Because he is saying that because sin is in the background. Look at David and look how God used him. Look at King Uzziah and what God did through him. Look at the Apostle Paul and how God used him. Look at Peter and how God used them. Look at all of these men of renown from Genesis 1:1 through the Revelation text, and you'll find that every man, every woman that God used were flawed sinners, but God chose to use them. I don't know about you, but I am thankful that God does not disqualify us because there's sin in our lives. The only one that was found sinless was Jesus Christ himself, and they hung him on the cruel, callous, cold Roman cross because he was perfect. May I remind us today, ladies and gentlemen, we need God's divine intervention in this election in 26, just as it did in 2016. All of America is living today in fear and hysteria, which is, by the way, a major tool of the communist, Marxist, Maoist modus operandi in overtaking and destroying a nation. It's fear and division in a nation. It is that tool that is used today. Our nation has been in a nation of lockdown by governmental orders. Our nation has been in a position that we've lost millions upon millions of jobs. Millions of businesses have closed, and thousands will never reopen as a result of the governmental orders to shut it down. Coming out of the mouth of none other than Dr. Anthony Fauci. Dr. Fauci has been called by the president a nut. Youngblood vernacular is a fruitcake. He is, when you look at Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Birx and the head of WHO, Dr. Tedros, which by the way is not a medical doctor at all. When you look at their agenda coming out of China and what China has done by the Wuhan China virus, which now is absolutely factual but has not been covered by any of the fake media, is the fact that the dear lady that was a virologist out of China that helped in the methodology of producing that virus, and she says it was done purposely, it was designed and weaponized to be used just as it's used today as a result of her coming to America and telling the truth. She was interviewed twice on the Tucker Carlson show, and she said on one of those interviews that her mother now in China has been arrested, put in prison, and is held there for her silence. And he said, well, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to continue with my next report. She is taking the stand even at the risk of losing her mother to stand and to tell the truth of what has taken place with that. But it's been weaponized and used by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Democratic Party to try to destroy the election, the re-election of President Donald J. Trump. Over 165,000 people today, as of today's date, have died as a result of depression, as a result of hopelessness, as a result of seeing no future. They have committed suicide. They've taken overdose of drugs. It's because of spousal abuse and domestic abuse, etc., etc. They're saying nothing about that. But every day you turn on the television and you roll it from the Communist Network News all the way down to the end of the dial, and you find all they can do is give a report on how many more cases we have. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand we're being lied to, we're being deceived in order to divide a nation, in order to destroy the re-election potentiality of President Donald J. Trump. We have less than 1% that die as a result of COVID-19. In fact, 85% of those that have died thus far wore a mask, and yet our nation's been in a mask mandate. And the wannabe, hope to be President Biden said the first thing he would do would have a federal mask mandate if he's elected as President of the United States of America. May I remind us, churches have been forced to close. Pastors have been arrested. Pastors have been fined. Dr. John MacArthur today, as a result of what is taking place in California, the city, the county that he's in, canceled his parking lot lease that they've had for 45 years. He has a 7,000 membership church. As a result of them continuing to have service, by the way, they stayed closed 16 weeks, he decided enough is enough. He decided to come out and say, we ought to obey Christ than Caesar when it comes to church, that churches are essential. And by the way, Dr. Wayne Grudem, in a book, Politics and the Bible, it's about 750 pages, about yay thick. I used to have a professor one time, he'd talk about a book. He said, it's about that thick. It's about that thick, Politics and the Bible. Dr. Wayne Grudem, left page, bottom column, about a quarter of the way through the book. He interviewed Dr. John MacArthur, and this book is now about 8 years old. And Dr. MacArthur said that it's unbiblical for any Christian to stand in civil disobedience. If the government says it, you ought to obey what the government says. He's taken a 1,000% about face. He's gone through the fire. He's recognized that that government is right according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. But government is a tool used by God. Government is the servant of God. And if government introduces and tries to carry out any laws that's antithetical to and conflicting with the word of God, we ought to obey God rather than man. And he now takes that firm stand, of which I am thankful for his standing position on that. But Dr. MacArthur has been fined. I believe the fine's now up to about $112,000. And they're being fined every day that they have services. And because out of a 7,000 membership, they've had three that have come down. They've tested positive for COVID-19. They're not in the hospital. They're not on medication. They're not under a doctor's review. They're simply at home because they tested positive. But now the news says that there's a major outbreak in Dr. MacArthur's church because he's refused to obey the orders of the government. He has today before him a cease and desist order from the judge there in California. Cease and desist. He says, we're going to continue to have church. That's what we should have done back in March when there was an order to close churches. Most of the churches today in the state of California, some 80% of them, are still closed. 32 counties, which make up about 80% of the churches in the state of California, are under forced closure orders. They cannot open the church and have services. That's antithetical to anything that's called the written appeal, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We ought to stand and say, we will not do so. We will not fold up and stay closed as a result of some law that is unconstitutional. Thousands of churches are still closed today. The states like Kentucky, New York, California, Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan, Ohio, and Colorado, and many others continue to force the closure of the churches. Even though Bill Barr with the Department of Justice has warned them several times, he's warned the mayors and the governors that, quote, our Bill of Rights with religious liberties do not have any exception clauses for any pandemic in America or anyplace else. Did you know that? Did you understand that even the Department of Justice has chided and said to these governors and mayors, you can't do what you're doing, and yet they're doing that and enforcing that, and the people have become sheeple rather than we the people. They bow and they bend, and we walk around in hysteria. I watched that in our lineup for voting yesterday, day before yesterday. People get out of the car, and a couple got out of their vehicle and got about halfway to the line. Oh, we forgot something. Went back, rustled through, got it, dusted the thing off, and strapped a mask on. And even the OSHA website says that with a pathogen that's 1/10 of a micron, and the smallest mask opening is 3 microns, and the even OSHA website said it's like putting a chain link fence around your face to keep the bugs out. And that's exactly what we see taking place. It is simply one of the indications of the government forcing submission that ultimately will be used when the vaccination comes out, that there will be forced vaccinations on us also. And I'll cover that further in this dialogue and discussion today on that subject. But may I remind us, governors like Whitmer, Newsom, Northam, Cuomo, Wolf. In fact, Governor Murphy said that the Bill of Rights was not considered when he made the decision to shut the churches down. When asked the second time, do you mean to say that you didn't consider the Bill of Rights? He said, that's above my pay grade. He ought not to be governor then if he doesn't understand the Constitution and our Bill of Rights and what God has given us in that. He says that churches are not essential. This violates our freedom. It violates everything that we call constitutionality of what we have today in relationship to the freedoms that we have to worship God and to honor Him in our life and the liberty that He has given us. May I just share a brief article in relationship to that? This is the article where Dr. MacArthur has been barred in Grace Community Church from meeting indoors, according to this text. He is now being fined $1,000 a day for every service that they have. And I could go on and on and on with other articles in relationship to other churches. Jim Cavelli, the one that played the part of Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, he said, canceled culture aims to cancel all of Christianity. And that's exactly where we are today. There's a movement that's afoot, whether you recognize it or not. There's a movement underway in America to cancel anything that's called church, anything that's called Christianity, anything that's called spirituality, and to do away with God. And I'm here to tell you, if I can do a little fast forward to where we're going, if we elect Joe Biden and place him in the White House in the Oval Office, we will find that the churches and the Christians will be under persecution and prosecution that we've not seen since the first century church in the world. In fact, may I remind us, an article by Matt Staver says, in the democratic socialist countries of Europe, and the government dictates what a church may or may not preach. In fully communist countries, government bans churches altogether. Now, similar repressions are taking place here in the United States of America as we speak, end quote. May I remind us, it's bad enough, this is bad enough, but the nation now is enduring the forced mask mandate warning, being forced to submit, forced in social distancing, forced in what the CDC says we must limit the government and limit what we're doing in relationship to preparing now for Thanksgiving. Did you know that? Did you realize that the CDC in all their ungodly wisdom, they're not putting out recommendations on how we can celebrate Thanksgiving.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.